Okay, we can start now. We got it. Huh? Oh yeah, we got the bug off finally. Well, good evening everybody. I hope you all had a great day today. Glad to see you all here this evening. There's more folks here tonight. More folks here tonight. Glad to see y'all. Glad to see y'all. Let's stand this evening. Turn to page number 6 in the hymnal. Page number 6 in the hymnal. Page number 6, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Number 6. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. A home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way. From the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. Upon that cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears to wonders I confess the wonders of his glorious love and my own worthlessness. I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross. Amen. That's a quick song. 288. 288 will be our next one. Might do three tonight. 288. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to and so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. That was quick song service. Let's do one more. Let's do one more. Do we have any requests? We'll do a request. 80. Oh, gosh. Do I have a blue? I don't have one up here. Preferably in the hymnal, I don't have anything. 81? 81. Oh yes, 81. When we see Christ. It's a good one. Number 81. Oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem, just go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished, we'll lay our burden down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Good to see you all this evening. Yeah. Announcements. Let's see. What do we got? RSVP for the Valentine's Banquet. It's coming up a week from Saturday. And then we got the Bible Conference that following week, February 21st through 25th. That is a Monday through Friday. We'll start that at 7 each night. And I think those are the main announcements there. Proverbs chapter 3 is where we're at this evening. Proverbs 3, verse 33. Proverbs 3, 33. And Proverbs has a lot of repetition in it. There's one of the ways that the Lord teaches, and really anybody teaches, but particularly in the book of Proverbs, as he teaches by comparisons. And in the verses we're going to read, you'll see several comparisons. You'll see God's curse versus his blessing. You'll see his grace versus his scorn. You'll see his glory versus putting someone to shame. And then you'll also see the different people that are identified with, that they receive one or the other from the Lord. But you'll see the wicked versus the just. You'll see the scorners versus the lowly. You'll see the fools versus the wise. And so he sets things in comparison. And really, these Proverbs, they're very simple. And everything that the Lord desires out of a soul, he is. For instance, he desires holiness, he's holy. He desires righteousness, he's righteous. He desires justice, he's just. He is the embodiment. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of everything God wants. And so it follows that his children would be like him in that, in those things. And so Proverbs is describing, really all through Proverbs, is describing the instruction in righteousness. It's just the many applications of faith. And so we'll read these verses. You'll see the comparisons. And I'm going to talk about, I want to focus on the positive side of this, the blessings, the grace, and the glory. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. So you got the curse in the house of the wicked, you got the blessing in the house of the just. Verse 34, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. That's a theme that runs through the Bible. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And really all of these things are themes that go through the Bible. But I hope you see the comparisons. He's in each verse is a comparison. The verse 33 is the curse of the Lord versus the blessing, the wicked versus the just. The verse 34 is the scorning of the Lord versus the grace of the Lord given to the lowly, and the scorning given to the scorners. And verse 35, the glory that's given to the wise versus shame that's given to the fools, that's what their promotion is, that's what they're working towards. So with that said, we'll deal with these three aspects: blessings, grace, and glory, according to these verses. And then but let's pray, and then we'll deal with some very practical things here. Father, I thank you for your words. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening, and pray that we would get the help that we need. To thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I do pray for Alan, and I know his fever's come back. And then for Jeff, trying to recover from open heart surgery. I really pray that you'd help these men recover. And I know Alan's been carrying this fever for weeks now, or at least almost 2 weeks. And so I pray that you'd intervene there and help him. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Alan does say thank you for the prayers. I talked to him today, and he was okay when I talked to him. He's still exhausted, but then tonight he got fever again. So it's just like been almost 2 weeks of fever. So it's just, it feels like it's never ending, particularly I know for Alan and Denise. But he covets your prayers. So Anyhow, Proverbs chapter 3, we've read the verses. We're going to talk about the blessings, the grace, and the glory. The first thing is, I notice in verse 33 that when he talks about the house and the habitation, so the house and habitation are very similar things, if not the same thing. And I think of a home or a house or a place where you live as sort of a place of rest. Like this is, you know, we're finally home. I was thinking about Beth and Jeff just got back last night from Houston. Was it last night? Yeah, that was last night. Last night, and they'd been in the hospital. Jeff had been in the hospital for 12 days, and they were just glad to be home. You know, it's just like home, place of rest. I can relax. And so that's what I think of when I think of home as a resting place. And the verse says that the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. It's like where the wicked find rest. That is the place where God has set his curse. And it may not happen overnight, but it's a place where that curse it shows up eventually, but it's such a bad thing to build your house upon the curse of God. And so you got the curse that's in the house of the wicked, but on the other hand, the blessings of God are in the habitation of the just. And so I'm going to look at that. I want to visit that thought, the blessings to the just. And just is, it's a word that just, it means equitable, it's lawful, it's right. It's a simple thought. You understand what it means, but I want to give you a couple cross references to this. And tonight we'll do it'll be some cross references to help you go through your Bible a little bit. But the first, like I started off saying, just being a just person is something God desires because that's what he is. That's what he is. In fact, Jesus Christ is called the Just One. And I'll show you a couple of verses. Look in Acts chapter 7 and he'll show it to you. He's called the Just One. So he is the embodiment of this attribute. He is the Just One. Acts chapter 7 and verse 52. This is Stephen preaching, and this is what he says about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 7, verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? But Jesus Christ is called the Just One. So that's one place. It's over there also in Acts chapter 22. But I just wanted to show you that because he embodies these characteristics that he's looking for and that he's pleased with. His blessings are upon the Just One. Interestingly enough, in the Bible, there are a few men who are called just men. Anybody, you got anybody know Daniel? I don't know if it says just men, but yeah, he's definitely a just man. I counted four men in the Bible who are actually called just men. Anybody know? No? All right, I'll give them to you. Noah is the first man. It says Noah was a just man. The Bible says Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, he's a just man. And he didn't want to make a public display of Mary, and so he wanted to put her away privately when he thought there had been some indiscretion there. And so the Bible God calls him a just man. Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, Gentile, Italian, and not saved, not at the time, but he's called a just man. someone who's equitable, someone who's fair, someone who is impartial, someone who distributes moral judgment equally. And so Cornelius is a just man. And then one that it's hard to figure out, but Lot is called a just man. He says he vexed his righteous soul. He said, but Peter calls him the just man. So there's four of them in the Bible, and all the people you guys named are just men as well. I mean, David and Daniel, these men are just men as well. But it's a simple application of morality without prejudice or respect of persons, and that seems to be really one of the main problems with people, is they don't distribute moral judgment equally, particularly within themselves. They will judge other people, but when it comes to them, we always have a reason for our immoral activity. There's always some reason for it, but by the same token, we'll judge other people. That's respecter of persons. That's it. That's partiality. That's inequitable. That's not balanced. But a just man is not like that. He's fair in his judgment. He's lawful. He's right. He's equitable in how he views behavior and things and life and people and all that stuff. So the Bible says the blessings of God are in the habitation of the just. And then there's a great verse that gets quoted several times, and it's, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. That starts in Habakkuk, and it's the just shall live by his faith. And then Paul quotes it in Romans, and then Hebrews, again in chapter 10 of Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So that's part of that that walk, and part of that living in respect to God and things like that. And so that's a characteristic of all that stuff. So God's blessing is in the habitation of the just, but his curse is in the house of the wicked. That's very, very simple. Second thing is this, verse 34, back in Proverbs. And I'm not going to develop these too much. I'll give you some couple cross references, but we'll get through these verses and these comparisons here. Verse 34, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. So on the negative side, God acts like, and it really does, negative or positive, but in this case it's negative. The Lord very much acts like a mirror. Like whatever you bring to the table, you get from him. And so if you are, like he says, if you are a scorner, then he scorns you. If you are lowly and meek and humble, then he looks on that with grace. And so he very much is like, all through the Bible, like a mirror. The Bible talks about draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. That's you move in and he moves in. And it's reciprocation. It's you get from the Lord, honestly, you get from the Lord exactly what you're looking for. And so if you're not looking for mercy, then you don't get any mercy from him. If you're not looking for righteousness from Jesus Christ, you don't get any righteousness from him. If you're there to give him your resume about how good and impressive you are, well then, okay, he says, well, then you got your reward. I mean, whatever impression you make on these people that you're trying to impress, that's what you got. But you're not getting anything from me, because you're not looking for anything from me. What you're looking for is something from the people, so therefore you got what you're looking for. And so the Lord's very much like a mirror in that. I mean, he just, you, you,
you really get what you are looking for, and he gives exactly what you're looking for. So you got a scorner, so they get scorning from God. On the other hand, he giveth grace unto the lowly. The truth, really, that God gives grace to the lowly, that runs before, during, after the law. That is a theme all through the Bible. Just a note, I think it's interesting in Proverbs, as far as chronologically, you're in the nation of Israel here, they're under the law. And now he's talking about grace. And he's saying, look, the lowly get grace. And this is within the framework of Israel's legal system, which I think we're going to do some stuff on the law at some point in Sunday school, because I think our understanding of that is not exactly the way God put it. But anyhow, here's grace, and God giving grace to the lowly. Once again, Jesus Christ is the personification of the lowly. There's a couple verses, you don't have to necessarily go there, but in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it talks about your king, and he'll come lowly and meek, riding upon a colt and things like that. And so Jesus Christ is the lowly. He says in Matthew 11, 20, 29, in fact, let's look at that one. We'll just look at that one. Matthew 11, 29. You can go look at that one. Jesus Christ personifies these attributes. Matthew 11, starting 28. Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." That's exactly what he said in Proverbs. That's the grace. "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You know what that is? That's someone who's lowly being given grace. The burden being lifted now. And he says, "My burden is light." What's the burden? Well, it's grace. It's God showing graciousness and grace to someone who is humble and meek in spirit and lowly. That's the word he uses. To define that word, you could go to Psalms 138. I'll just read it to you. But Psalms 138, verse 6, says, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off." Like, he won't come near the proud. He's in opposition to them. But the lowly he has respect unto. And that's giving people exactly what they're looking for, really. I mean, it really is. Whatever you're looking for from the Lord, he gives it to you. So you got scorning versus grace in verse 34. The scorners get scorning. The lowly get grace. Verse 33, the wicked get the curse. The just get the blessing. And then in verse 35, you've got shame versus glory. Shame versus glory, and the shame goes to fools, and the glory goes to the wise. So verse 35, "The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools." I think about that word. It's a perfect word, promotion. Like, promotion is what people are looking for in their job. Promotion, I want to move up. And the Lord says, well, what the fool is headed towards, his promotion is shame. That's what he's going to graduate into. That will be the next step in his life, is shame. Like he'll say later on in Proverbs, he says, I think, how's it go? "A haughty spirit goeth before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction. A haughty spirit before a great fall." It's like, the the progress or the graduation for a fool is shame. That's what he's headed towards. On the other hand, the wise is headed for glory. And that's something. I think about when Jesus Christ talked about the building the house on the rock, and he said, "Whosoever hears my words and keeps them, I will liken unto him who built his house upon a rock." And the waves came and the storm came and all that kind of stuff, and his house stood. And so it survives, but not only does it survive, it's glorious in its survival. It's glorious in its outcome. And so I think about the future of life, future of what we're living here. And most people's and the world's philosophy is eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die, and that's the end of it. And so I'm just gonna do whatever I can to live in as much pleasure as I possibly can right now. And then you find out that there's more to it than that. Unfortunately, you find out that too late. But if you trust what God said, you know the future. There's eternal life. There is future glory. And I mean, the glory is just like Paul said. He said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time aren't even worth comparing to the future glory. It's just not even worth putting them side by side because they're so far apart." Like when the wise get a taste of the glory in the future, the past suffering will be so far behind them. It'll be so far in the rearview mirrors, there just won't even be worth talking about. And so Paul says it like this, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature is made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who is subject to the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." So that's the future. That's the future of God's people. It's just, it's glorious. There's a description of New Jerusalem. There's a description of the future earth, which Jesus Christ and him removing the curse. And it's incredible. When you read the future glory, there is, I'll give you a few things about it. I think it's in Isaiah 11 where he talks about nature and creation and animals and how that there's no more of that dog eat dog attitude. It's the lion lays down with the lamb, it's the wolf, or the wolf lays down with the lamb, the lion with the calf, and there's just no appetite for blood anymore. They eat grass, they eat straw, and there's just no appetite for blood. And so all of nature is completely different, and that's a world you and I have never seen. We are so used to living in this curse. We're just so used to it. I mean, it's just it's second nature to call a doctor. That's just what we're used to. But there's coming a day for God's children where there's no hospitals, there's no funerals, there's no cemeteries, there's no graveyards, there's no sickness, there's no viruses. There's none of that stuff. The curse is gone in nature, and there's no taste for blood. There's no desire to hate, and it's you love God, you love each other. What a glorious day. That's the glory. That's the glory that the wise are headed for. It's incredible. It's incredible. And then you read in Revelation the description of the capital city, New Jerusalem. I mean, what an incredible place. This city is, what is it? He says it's, I think, 1,200 furlongs or something. It comes out to, like, I think, 1,200 miles long, 1,200 miles wide, and 1,200 miles tall. And it's got gates that are made of pearl. I mean, that's a big oyster, you know? That's crazy. And then streets just paved with gold. And walls of jasper. I mean, it's just incredible when it describes the capital of this place. The capital city that will one day rest on the foundation that was laid in the promised land. Incredible. And so that's the future glory. And you think about what will be produced out of all of creation and what will be left over. What's gonna come out of this creation that God's made? Will the things that survive are God's people. That's what survives, God's people. And then there'll be a whole new heavens and earth and all that kind of stuff. It's just incredible to think about it. Isaiah chapter 65, he talks about no regrets. I mean, after he wipes away the tears, there's no thought for what happened. It's just the old has passed away. It's incredible. Jesus Christ said to the disciples, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go and prepare a place for you." I mean, you can't do it justice to describe it, but it's like Paul said, it's just, I couldn't describe this thing if I wanted to. I've yet to experience life outside of a curse, outside of a sinful body. I've yet to experience that, but I love the thought of it. No more sin. I don't have to contend with this stuff. I don't have to deal with this. I don't have to wrestle with disobedience to God and whether I should serve God or whether or not, or I don't have to wrestle with any of that. What a day that'll be. What an incredible day. What a day. He says, the wise shall inherit glory. That's incredible. No tears, no sin, no death. None of that. All of that stuff is the result of the curse. All that stuff is a result of sin. But none of that's the future. That's going to be past. That's not the future of God's kingdom. And so Proverbs is, I mean, it's very practical stuff. Curses versus blessings, wicked versus just, scorning versus grace, and scorners versus the lowly, and then wise versus fools, and then glory versus shame. I mean, it's just, the Lord just, when you read Proverbs, it's like serving God is just a no-brainer. It's like, why would you not? The only reason you wouldn't is if you didn't believe what he said. And if you don't believe what he said, I can see, yeah, you're not interested. But if you believe what God said, which you would be wise to do because his words have proven true years and years and years, and I would say somebody who doesn't believe him, you haven't studied them and you haven't put enough time into this to see that these words are true. And so this whole, man, it's like a no-brainer to serve God, to love God, to please God. It's just that what other life could you live? And Proverbs just sets those things in comparison. And there's really no comparison. There's just no comparison. So it shows you also that God has he has things that he likes, and he has things that he desires, and he has things that he dislikes, and he has things that he doesn't want to be around. And so I don't want to say he's like you and me. I mean, in a sense, sort of, but he's got his own desires and loves and things he dislikes and things he wants and things he doesn't want. And it's just, it's all laid out. It's so simple in Proverbs. It really is. It's just so simple. So blessings, grace, glory, All that is, I'm looking forward to it. Just looking forward to it. I mean, it can get old living here in this, I won't say living here, but living under a curse and living in sin and living around sin. That just gets really old, and living amid confusion and darkness and things like that, man. I guess the encouragement is serve God while you have time, and look forward to the future. Look forward to the glory, because that's coming. That's coming. If you're saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, and you're a part of God's people, that's coming. That's coming. So let's pray, and we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful. Very simple stuff, very practical. But I pray you'd encourage us. Thank you for your words. Do want to lift up the folks that are watching and those that are sick, that you would help them recover quickly and give them strength. Thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Prayer requests.